Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome on in to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speakers. Shay Pepler Cornett and Jordan Cornett hanging out with you one more day, getting to fill in for the big guns.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Yeah, they are definitely the big guns.
Yes.
Excited to be back. We had a good Thanksgiving, didn't we?
We did. We had a good Thanksgiving. I'm still full, although somehow I managed to eat breakfast.
I think Mike Golic Jr. said it best. He feels like he's at max capacity.
Yeah.
I think we both were at max capacity after all the food and indulging we did yesterday. But it's back to business today.
It is. It's back to business. So we had a Thanksgiving where we had two meals. We had one during the first game. We had another meal during the second game. And we went to bed early because we had to be back here.
Yeah.
And we also went to bed early because there was no night game. Because Steelers and Ravens has been postponed until Sunday. Well, now that game is even looking like it might not be played and is in jeopardy because we found out last night that Lamar Jackson has tested positive for COVID-19. He is the reigning MVP, arguably the biggest name in the NFL so far to test positive for COVID-19. And this now creates a scenario where there is an outbreak amongst these Ravens players, personnel, staff members, and we don't know what's going to happen come Sunday. We will have much more on this coming up later because Jeremy Fowler is going to join us later this hour, and we'll dive a little bit more into what this means for Sunday's game, what it means for the Ravens going forward because they are on a short week after that. So we'll get more into that later on. Let's start with the games, though, that we saw last night. And most notably, let's start with the Cowboys and the Washington football team. This was played in Dallas. And if you listened to the show at all yesterday, my husband was big on the Cowboys. Didn't go their way. Now, there were a few reasons.
Put all the chips in on the Cowboys.
All the chips in on the Cowboys. They ended up losing 41-16. Washington football team now alone in first place in the NFC East as they surpass the Philadelphia Eagles, and they are up by a half a game. So there were some injuries. Also, the Cowboys playing with a very heavy heart. Marcus Paul, their strength and conditioning coach, one of them at least, passed away the day before. There was a medical emergency at the facility. We know all about this. Then they have dealt with some injuries to their offensive line all season, and then it happened again yesterday, rarely quickly. They lost their right tackle, Zach Martin, and their left tackle, Cam Irving, within four plays of each other on the very first drive of the game.
Offensive possession for the Cowboys of the game, Shay. And look, all I can do at this point is make excuses after the confidence I had in these Cowboys. And to me, it's simple. I said yesterday, Cowboys win this game on the backs of their offensive line. The offensive line holds these guys up front at bay from a Washington team. That is very tough up front. They're able to activate a run game and get going with Ezekiel Elliott. That never happened because when Irving goes down and Martin goes down, the game plan is then thrown out the door. And so what I thought would be the key to success became the story of more bad luck for a Cowboys team and just more attrition for what already was going to be that coming in.
Yeah.
And this is not analysis. This is not hot takey. They lost a part of their family coming into that game. And I don't know how important that game, which was of massive importance, feels to all those players when the loss of life and some of the guys seeing Marcus collapse in their facilities and then ultimately not survive. Look, like that has an impact. Mm-hmm. And I'm not here to make this about that. It's way deeper than that with what's going on with the Cowboys. And when I toss it back to you, I'll then get back into that side of it. But I just wonder how much of the focus and the mental fatigue set in the second half of what they were dealing with. I really do. And yeah. It's not a cop-out. I just really do.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. And obviously no one can relate to what they're going through. Mike McCarthy even said yesterday, this is a real thing that my team is going to have to overcome. It's real adversity. Again, you're listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Shay Cornett, Jordan Cornett filling in for them yet again today. In case you don't know who we are married.
We are.
And we also we actually do work here. We work on Sundays. We do game day on ESPN Radio.
1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Let's get the plug so we can get bring some of this massive audience over to our side. Look, Shay, the other part of this now getting to the field, the coaching decisions.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into the coaching decisions. Probably the most glaring one was the fake punt. Okay. The fake punt. Fourth and 10. At their own 24, with 12 minutes and 54 seconds
Start of the
left.
Fourth quarter, essentially. I mean, this is the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Dallas trailed 20 to 16 at the time. If you saw the fake punt, I am sure, like the rest of us, at least like we were at home, what are you doing, Mike McCarthy?
Trailing by four, game within reach,
fourth
buried
and 10,
inside your own territory.
It made no sense. Here's Mike McCarthy's rationale.
Well, I mean, it's definitely a big play opportunity is the way you view it. There's certain things you look for Tennessee-wise on when and where, you know. But, you know, it's obviously we didn't execute it, and as those things go, I mean, obviously it's ultimately my responsibility when particularly a play like that doesn't work. But we're trying to generate a big play at that point in the game. Prior, you know, the information that you look for going into it, it was a solid call.
Okay, so what's he going to say? That I should have never called that? Obviously, he's going to defend it. He says it's a solid call. But prior in the game to that, they tried to run some sort of similar play to a Philly special, and the Washington football team was ready for it. They were fully ready for the fake punt as well. You're not fooling anyone, and you're especially not fooling this Washington football team past defense in any way, which, by the way, is number one in the National Football League. So the Cowboys end up looking foolish on both of these scenarios. And I think a lot of this, and I know you feel strongly about this too, is not on Andy Dalton. Look, Andy Dalton wasn't perfect by any means yesterday. By any means. But
he was looking like he was on his way in the first half. Andy Dalton played a good first half.
Yeah. So I'm not putting this on Andy Dalton. I'm putting this on the coaching staff and the decision-making. I'm putting this on Ezekiel Elliott, who had 32 yards rushing and a fumble. Another fumble, by the way. I'm putting it on CeeDee Lamb, who dropped a pass that you just simply cannot drop.
That's six.
And that's the
touchdown. We're not talking about the first half. Another head-scratcher play call from Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, on a fourth and one, elects to not give the ball to your highly paid running back, Ezekiel Elliott. I don't care what's going on with injuries with the offensive line. It's not fourth and one. It's fourth and inches. And you elect for Andy Dalton to try to thread the needle on a short pass that's very covered by the defense that results in an incompletion and a turnover on downs. I mean, the Cowboys' defense surrendered 338 yards of offense. It's not like this was a benchmark performance for them, but they were continually put in these awful situations with Washington in this favorable field position deep inside Cowboys territory that resulted in 24 points. 24 points! That's a huge swing of momentum in a game where your defense is already a questionable defense that is tasked with an immense amount of bending that inevitably leads to breaking. And that was from decision-making from the sidelines and a lack of execution. You mentioned the CeeDee Lamb. Big stars on Dallas' team are still on the roster and healthy. Ezekiel Elliott fumbles in this game for the sixth time this season, the fifth one lost. I guess if you're going to glean positive, it's the first turnover from Ezekiel Elliott that didn't result in 6 points for the opposition.
Wow, that's great.
But it resulted
news.
In a field goal.
That's great news.
Like, it's just these mistakes keep coming for a Cowboys team that has some talent still on the roster. And it feels like I should have known better. I should have known better, Shay, because Cowboys were favored.
Yes, see.
The Cowboys were in a position, and Andy Dalton has said this a few times in his presser. He talked about it in the second half. He was disappointed. It was all in front of them. He talked about coming into the game. It was all in front of them. It always feels like it's in front of these Cowboys, and they can't figure out a way to get it done, even if it feels like it's gift-wrapped for them to get it done.
Yeah, and there'll be much more on this later on. I wasn't going to put salt in the wound with you with the Cowboys. I'll do that later on. I just need you to wake up a little more. I know it's still early in the morning. Somehow the Cowboys are still in the race for the NFC East, though, only a game back. They desperately need to get in the zone. That is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. So one Texas team did get a win on Thanksgiving, and their future might actually be brighter than the Cowboys. That's what I think. We'll get to that.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Shea Cornett and Jordan Cornett here hanging out with you, discussing our Thanksgiving and the football that we saw on Thanksgiving. I think we're still a little full. Everyone feels a little tired, a little sluggish on this Friday morning, right? But there's a lot of news and a lot to get to. We're presented by Progressive Insurance here. Again, Keyshawn, Jay Will and Zubin, Shea and Jordan Cornett filling in for him. So yesterday, Houston Texans went to Detroit to face the Detroit Lions. And there's two very drastic ways we could go here. But we're going to start with the Houston Texans. And let's just
go positive.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go positive. I'm feeling optimistic.
I always like taking the positive path out of the gates.
I'm feeling optimistic in this one. So the Houston Texans beat the Detroit Lions 41-25. In fact, both winners in yesterday's game scored 41 points. Little nugget for you there. Deshaun Watson.
Wasn't a Cowboy scoring them.
No. Deshaun Watson, 318 passing yards and four touchdowns. I think you asked me yesterday if he was going to throw more than two, and I said no. So I was very, very wrong. And Deshaun Watson played well. The defense played well. Everything was working in the Texans' favor yesterday. They were turning over the Detroit Lions. All things were really good. I'll say this about Deshaun Watson. He is a fantastic quarterback. But yesterday, he had a really good day. 17 of 25.
Almost
I mentioned
flawless.
The 318 yards for four touchdowns. No interceptions. In fact, he has now thrown 15 touchdown passes without getting picked off once in the past six games. Here's what he is. He takes good care of the football. And I think when you have a quarterback and you know your football team isn't complete and isn't very good, taking care of the football is the best thing you can do for them. And that's what Deshaun Watson is doing. And that's why he's such a great leader.
I look at it, Shea, and I watch what this Texans defense was able to give them.
Mm-hmm.
And Deshaun Watson has been faced with an uphill battle there with these Texans. And Bill O'Brien is gone, thankfully, for the Texans fan base. But it's hard not to watch and not think of DeAndre Hopkins when you watch what Deshaun Watson is able to do there with Will Fuller. There's real chemistry between these two. And they were able to get something going in this game. And I'm so happy, Deshaun, that the Texans held on to Will Fuller. It might be the first savvy move we've seen from them to not deal him. Maybe he could have headed to Green Bay at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's true. A part of this future. When you got a chemistry like Fuller, Will Fuller and Deshaun Watson have, that's something you want to covet. But going back to the Texans defense. Texans defense for the second consecutive week looked like a defense that was competent, that was capable, and was opportunistic. And it starts with how they've been against the run. This has been a bad team defending the run. They've done it.
The worst team in the NFL in defending the run.
And so Deshaun Watson's game has been impacted from what this defense hasn't given them. The Texans were good against the run for the second straight week, and they generated turnovers. They are the worst in the NFL at generating turnovers, with only five takeaways through 10 games coming in. And those three turnovers were massive, and they came in a flurry. But when that happens, it allows Deshaun Watson to say, oh, you guys are going to keep me in this game? You're going to give me an opportunity? Not only that, but you're going to prop me up to succeed? I'll show you I'm one of the biggest stars in the NFL. And he looked like one of the biggest stars in the NFL. And that's who Deshaun Watson is. And I know it's hard for you to hear that as a Chicago Bears fan. Because you elected to go with Mitchell Trubisky in that draft back in, what was that, 2017?
It's like, what do we hear more about, that or the fact the Texans traded away DeAndre Hopkins? Two conversations that constantly, constantly come up.
This is a good job. This is a good job for a coach and to be honest, a GM, to be in position to take over.
Okay.
Laremy Tunsil is your left tackle there. You've got your star quarterback. You've got a star receiver in Will Fuller, who's the fastest guy in the league. I mean, and the deep ball that Deshaun Watson could throw, whoo, fun to watch. Can you be competent in the drafts moving forward? Can you take advantage of what will probably be a third-tier schedule next season and win some games and maybe put yourself in playoff potential position? But I want to see how they finish this year. Winners of three of their last four. I want to see who the Texans can be here because I think they got a little bit of a heartbeat right now.
Okay, we'll get more into the Texans in a second because I have very strong feelings about the Texans, and I know you and I disagree on that a little bit, so we'll get into it in a minute. But let's really quick hit on the Detroit Lions. Again, 41-25 was the final score yesterday. The Lions were bad in every sense of the word. They turned the ball over. There's issues. They lack drive. They lack fight, in my opinion. And now here we are looking at a team that's 4-7 and has wildly not met expectations at all in their division in the NFC North and in the National Football League as a whole.
Just say his name, Shay. You know,
Matt
you want
Patricia,
to.
Your seat has never been hotter.
Get
in
it off
fact,
your chest.
At this point, your seat's probably hotter than Adam Gase's, which is incredible to me to even say out loud. I think we've come now to the realization Adam Gase is not going to be let go until the end of the season. It's not going to happen, or it would have already happened.
If it doesn't happen today, because you've got 10 days off until your next game, and you got a lineup of your next four games versus playoff contenders, so it's only going to get uglier.
That's what I'm saying.
It's only going to get uglier.
So for Matt Patricia, and Jordan's talking about Matt Patricia now, he's saying...
Clear my throat here.
It's okay.
Clear my throat.
Sip your coffee. Matt Patricia, likely, I would assume the same thing. And now this brings us to our next point, and that would be Jim Caldwell, who was the coach before Matt Patricia, who Matt Patricia earlier this year essentially said he had work to do when Jim Caldwell left because of the state the Lions were in when he got there. I think we can now all look at this and say, I don't know that that's exactly true. In Jim Caldwell's last two seasons in Detroit, they lost 7 games for the entire season, 9-7 and 9-7. Just so you know. Here we are with Matt Patricia.
Yeah.
4-7. Okay. At this point, Patricia could win his next 24 games with the Lions. 24 games. And Caldwell will still own a better record with this team. It ain't Caldwell's problem. It's your problem, Matt Patricia. And you've put these Lions in a really bad spot.
A defensive guy and his Lions defense has now had 40 hung on them for the third time this season. Look, the Lions scored first in this game. They had some juice. And those three turnovers. And the first two coming on 2 straight snaps, 3 consecutive possessions in the first half, you turn the football over. And it's a team against a team, again, in the Texans that have registered only 5 takeaways in the first 10 games. That's a league low. So in the one game where you think, okay, we'll be good with the football, we'll give ourselves a chance, because it's not like this is an opportunistic defense that goes and takes it away from you. You open the door widely for this Texans team to take advantage. And to me, that was without question the undoing. Because you could have argued the Lions were the better team in that first half. They were only trailing, despite all that, by 6 in that first half. In reality, they should have had the lead. But how you respond to that? I mean, you look at coaching to be buttoned up and all these things, and there's a myriad of reasons you can point to the ineptitude from Matt Patricia. Defensively, as I said, the third time they've given up 40 points. Those turnovers, careless mistakes with the football. But how you respond at the break? You come out of the break saying, hey, let's put that in the rear view. We've made those mistakes in the first half. We gave the Texans this opportunity. We still should come out here and play like we're the better team at home here and get some things done and make some adjustments. They came out with no life. Came out with no juice in the second half, and it only got ugly from there.
Lions 4-16 now on Thanksgiving Day. Since 2001, they've lost 4 straight on the holiday, a holiday that's their tradition.
Where's the defensive scheme for Watson had all the time in the world to just sit there?
It's not okay.
Against soft coverage. It was rough to watch.
It's not
rough
okay. We're asking on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, who will be better next year? Do you think it's going to be the Texans or the Cowboys? We'll dive more into that later on. Be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town. Fansville, head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. So the marquee game of Thanksgiving was postponed until Sunday, and now that is in serious jeopardy of happening as the reigning MVP now has tested positive for COVID-19. Much more on that situation and what's going on with the Ravens.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2,
Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, Shay and Jordan Cornette here with you on a Friday morning, filling in for the big guys. And if I ever read something the way I just read that, I don't know that we'll ever be asked.
Hey, it happens.
It happens.
You know this one. You know this bop, right?
Oh, yeah, I do. But I hate when you quiz me on music.
I just say yes. I'm not going to ask you.
I know. Of course I know it. It was on my first iPod shuffle back in the day.
There you go. All right, let's take it back.
A little pink one.
Okay,
some serious news, though, that we do need to get to. The Ravens are having issues with the coronavirus. There's a straight-up outbreak going on amongst this team. And as of yesterday, Lamar Jackson had tested positive for COVID-19. Now, I don't mean to single out one single player, because it doesn't matter who's testing positive at this point. It's a serious situation. Lamar Jackson just happens to be the reigning MVP, the star quarterback, a star quarterback in this league, and the star quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. And so this game between the Ravens and the Steelers was supposed to be played Thursday. It has now been pushed to Sunday. What do? You're constantly having all these positive tests, and you can't – the Steelers have already had a bye. You can't just create a bye out of nowhere.
You're running out of flexibility.
You're running out of options.
The real estate to make this happen, and Shay, to me, it's pretty clear what has to happen. It doesn't appear that this game can be played on Sunday, and Jeremy Fowler is going to join us, ESPN NFL Insider, here shortly. I don't see how the game happens on Sunday. So then what do you do? Week 18, in a season full of firsts, in a world full of firsts, and how we're being flexible and adjusting, it's either forfeit the game, the Ravens, because they're the ones who are negligent in how they handle this, and albeit it started from a guy who was in their strength and conditioning staff not wearing a mask and not properly reporting symptoms, but that's not adhering to protocol. So, and I don't think forfeit's really going to be on the table here. So to me, it feels like week 18, scheduling this game. And if you think Pittsburgh was upset now or then, imagine how upset the Steelers have to be at the premise, at the notion that they might be playing this game in week 18. An undefeated team with the look at the records, the best team in the NFL, having to do something like that, I mean, that's just an obstacle that you got to feel like is unfair, because this is now the second team that has been negligent on your schedule where you're negatively impacted. And we spent a lot of the show yesterday saying the Steelers have to understand this is the world we're in. Mm-hmm. But it becomes a tough pill to swallow when the Titans were reckless once and it impacted negatively, you having to enter a bye week and messing up your whole schedule, to now potentially playing week 18 because of how the Ravens have handled this. I'd be pretty upset if I was the Steelers in that regard. I would.
See, I think that reverses it. I would assume the Steelers are no longer as upset as they were because they see how many players have now tested positive.
Oh, yeah,
and how
about playing the game, no question, no question.
So Jeremy Fowler is ready. Let's go to him now. He's our ESPN senior national NFL reporter. Jeremy, thanks for being with us this morning. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So a lot to talk about here with this Ravens team and the outbreak that is happening. I know Lamar Jackson is the latest to now test positive. Their game has been moved from Thursday to Sunday, but Sunday's game seems to be in question. What's the latest with their game on Sunday? Is it scheduled as planned?
Well, the latest is the league is going to make a decision today. They have not made a decision yet. They're evaluating all options. If it is close to medically safe, if they can say that, then they want to play on Sunday because, you know, they don't want to forfeit because then really the Ravens wouldn't even get paid for the game. They don't want to move it to week 18 unless they absolutely have to. Now, that's in their back pocket. They can shift it to that last week of the year right before the playoffs and go from there. But they don't want to do that just for one game. So I would suspect that they would move this back a day or two before they would do that. So maybe try to play on Monday or Tuesday, maybe move the Ravens next Thursday game against the Cowboys back a few days and just go on a sliding scale.
Jeremy, if you're the Steelers, of those options you've laid out, which one would be more appealing to you? Would it be playing this game a few days later, or would it be moving it to week 18? Either one seems like a supreme headache, but understanding that this is the era that we are in.
they'd probably rather play it now, even if it was a day or two after, than have to play it week 18. You know, especially, but this is a team that could go 16-0. You don't want to have to play the Ravens right before the playoffs. It just doesn't make a lot of sense for them. You know, they're upset either way. They're really fired up. They are bracing for a change to week 18, knowing that it's on the table. But they're hoping that that's not the outcome right now. They'd rather play it on a Monday or Tuesday than they would move it back.
Okay, so speaking of that Week 18, and we've talked a lot about the NFL creating that Week 18 because this seems to be inevitable at this point. A lot of teams have already had their byes. Mm. We've already had issues with switching schedules around, and now the Steelers are at the forefront of that conversation. Is a Week 18 inevitable at this point, Jeremy?
I'm not so sure, but it seems to be trending that way because now you've had a Ravens situation where this is usually a very – stable, smart organization that takes all the right precautions, but all it took is one strength coach to not be wearing his mask, and then you have, you know, a couple positive tests on game day last week, and all of a sudden you have a complete outbreak of a dozen or more players. And so, you know, the leagues, it hoped that it had moved past that, but with the rising COVID cases around the country, they're prepared to get at least a few games moved back. They would consider themselves pretty fortunate if they got to week 17 and all the games are played. So, you know, they have that week in their back pocket to use if they need it.
Jeremy, let's shift to some football. At the moment, we know is going to be played. The Monday night game, Seattle traveling to Philadelphia, an Eagles team right now that is looking for answers, and they have a whole lot of questions. And the paramount one is the quarterback position. Carson Wentz, at this point, throwing a league-high 14 interceptions, trying to figure out his way. And a fan base that is losing faith in a guy in 2017 who looked like maybe the best quarterback in this league. Is it time to move towards Jalen Hurts? Seems like there's some indecision going back to Coach Peterson in his media availability, seeming like there may be a chance for it.
Yeah, he was wishy-washy there with the press conference for sure. But, you know, I'm told the Eagles absolutely do not want to dump Carson Wentz. And really, talking to execs around the league, they still believe this is one of the more talented quarterbacks around the league. It's just a confluence of issues with a ton of injuries on their offensive line, a wide receiver, tight end. He just has not got going. He just needs to see the ball go in the hoop, as one of his teammates told me recently. Maybe he can just get hot if something good can happen, because nothing good is happening for him right now. But, you know, he has an albatross of a contract with almost $60 million in dead money next year. Huge cap hit. I mean, they can't really get out of it unless they were to trade him. Now, he would have some trade value because of his talent. You know, but right now, unless there's a colossal bomb, if he just bombs again on Monday night and really struggles, they want to right the ship and keep it with Wentz.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin is presented by Progressive Insurance, and Jeremy Fowler is with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Shea and Jordan Cornett filling in this morning. So, Jeremy, yesterday we saw the Detroit Lions lose badly to the Houston Texans. And now the Lions are 4-7, and Matt Patricia had stipulations going into this season that they needed to be better, essentially, for him to keep his job. I think it's pretty obvious they are not better. And I know this morning the rumor mill is starting with Patricia's job security. What is the latest with him in Detroit?
Yeah, because they said they wanted to be playing meaningful games in December, and it doesn't look like that's going to be happening right now. And so, they know they are on high alert right now. I know that. You know, speaking to some people in Detroit, they knew even 6 weeks ago they had to make some sort of run right the ship, and it has not happened. So, you know, they're on edge, but not, you know, no decision has been made as far as I know. I know Detroit wanted to give Matt Patricia the entire season to let this play out. But their hand might be forced at some point. That could be now. You know, so that they're sort of waiting right now in suspense in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jeremy Fowler, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So they want to wait it out. And Jordan, you and I have talked a little bit about firing coaches in season so far this year, because this year is so weird from every other year, because head coaches are not just dealing with what's going on their football team. They're also dealing with memos, and they're also dealing with coronavirus protocols and how to manage that, and who can be in a facility. You're seeing with Harbaugh right now, and who cannot be in a facility. And so if you remove the head coach and you put a coordinator as the interim head coach, he now has way more work, and you don't have people to delegate the tasks to, essentially, if that makes sense. So, as Jeremy Fowler just said, the Lions wanted to wait till the end of the season. This is probably why. This is probably why we're seeing this with the Jets. Maybe they don't have someone that can take over right away and just step into a role as head coach. But still, it just seems like such a miss at this point if you don't make a move now because of the comparisons to Jim Caldwell, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you know who you've got in Matt Patricia, and it hasn't worked out. You look at the remaining schedule there. The five games left on the schedule are all teams that will or can very much so beat them. There are four teams that we look at on that remaining schedule that are in the playoff hunt. And the Vikings are a team that is out of it, but they're a good football team. I don't see any wins left on the schedule for the Detroit Lions. You've got 10 days between now and the next game in Chicago for you to make this adjustment. So if there's ever a favorable position within the season to move on a coach, the time is right now. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I'm surprised we went to sleep without hearing news that Matt Patricia
was gone. It was a holiday.
It's happened before. I believe they moved on a coach in 2005 before too. So this, and it happened on Thanksgiving. It's possible that that could happen. It didn't. I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen today. But again, this whole, he's not going to survive into next season. That's not going to happen. But it's a unique world during this COVID time where there's an apprehension. There's some trepidation in hiring a coach in this COVID era because you don't know what the future is going to be. You can't have those comfortable face-to-face conversations and meetings and really get a good feel for who you're making this type of financial and time investment in. Those are massive. That's the swing between a franchise moving with good momentum going one way or one that is going to stay in the quicksand and be stuck in the mud. So it's not a favorable position for any franchise to be in where you feel like you're in the position in this era of COVID to have to go find the new person to lead your franchise. It's not an ideal spot.
The Lions have already taken a step back. They knew that something needed to happen after last season, after they were underachieving last season. And so the powers that be said to both Quinn and to Patricia, hey, we need to play, as Jeremy Fowler just said, we need to play meaningful games in December in order for this relationship to continue working. We're not there. I know it's only November. December's like days away. Like that's not happening. And so Matt Patricia brings in his own personnel, decides on his own players, does things his way for another year. When you have the third pick in the draft this past year and you take Jeff Okuda, cornerback from Ohio State, who I'm not saying is a bad player.
And an injury. I mean, the injuries on that defense for sure. But to me, it's not fun to watch them either. I mean, the conservative play calling offensively, when they got down in that game, there's no flexibility. There's no versatility. There's no creativity with any of this offensively. You're down big and you still commit to the run. And these long, sustainable drives that eat clock, you're trailing by multiple scores. It just seems to me like there's, in this league where there's so much creativity to the point where you're watching the Texans and be like, another trick play? It was almost like a flex from the Texans looking at such a basic offensive approach from the Detroit Lions, which is another reason they're being held back. I get the injuries on that defense, but that defense also has shown no life at all under a defensive-minded guy. There are no results to point to. There is no future to be keen or high on moving forward with this Detroit Lions team, and that starts with your head man and Matt Patricia. You've got to make a move to inject a pulse back into this, make your fan base believe that you do have a commitment to winning and do want to see this tide turn, because at this point, there's nothing really even talk about with these Lions.
The state of Michigan has got some issues with their sports teams. I mean, the Wolverines are bad, the Spartans are bad, the Lions are bad, the Cavs are bad.
Michigan State basketball, though.
Yeah, that's true. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin, we're filling in here. Shay and Jordan Cornett, and right now we're going to go from A to Z. Speaking of Chicago, let's start there. Who's going to start for quarterback for the Chicago Bears against the Green Bay Packers Sunday in primetime? Being a Chicago girl myself, this all frightens me. The Bears taking on the Packers in itself, and then also who's going to be the starting quarterback? Per Adam Schefter here for the second straight day, Bears quarterback Nick Foles did not practice due to that hip injury, while Mitch Trubisky, on the other hand, was a full participant in practice. Trubisky now tracking to start Sunday against the Packers. Here's Matt Nagy on that decision.
With both of these guys, with where they're at and their injuries, that's what we're kind of working through right now to see exactly where they're at. So the good thing for us coming off the bye is it happened over the bye for Nick, and now we're able to kind of day by day just see where he's at we're going through and just trying to figure out, okay, health-wise, where they're at. And then also us too, like coming through the bye, like I said, us evaluating where we're at as a team, as an offense, all of that is on the table.
Okay, I know Matt Nagy really well. I've covered him for the last few years in Chicago. I have a nice relationship with Matt Nagy. And at this point, this is exactly what I would assume Matt Nagy would say. Doesn't want to tell the Packers exactly who's starting. Packers are no dummies. I'm sure their defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine, is sitting there going, okay, it's probably going to be Mitch Trubisky considering Nick Foles hasn't practiced. However, I know the majority of their time and their focus during the bye week was figuring out how to make the offense click, how to make it work, how to establish some sort of rhythm and some sort of points that they can put
on
the board.
They just realized this was a problem in the in this bye week. For
no,
them to-
I'm sure they realized it last season. Mitch Trubisky is not going to be the long-term answer. I'm sorry, I don't think he ever will be. He's not that kind of quarterback. However, he can generate some plays and some life with his legs, and now it's time to rethink how you're going about this offense. And this is the week it starts, and Mitch Trubisky gets back in the fold, and now you've got an easy out with Nick Foles. You're not benching him, so to speak. You're not kind of putting him on the bench and causing all this uproar with him. Let him slowly get healthy. Let him merge back into that backup role. So when you need to call him in as a reliever, he plays like the reliever he was in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and look, Nick Foles is that reliever. I keep hearing this narrative, like Nick Foles is good when he's coming off of being the backup. Philadelphia had one of the best running attacks in the NFL when Nick Foles was their quarterback. So Nick Foles was in a position to succeed in the play action and also with a heavy reliance on a rushing attack that was elite at that point in the NFL. That propelled him to success. When I look at the Chicago Bears, I look at, again, a lack of creativity in play calling. And I also see an inability to get anything going with the ground game. With Nick Foles as your quarterback for your Bears, their rushing attack is averaging 2.5 yards per carry. 2.5 yards per carry. That's not going to get it done, especially when Matt Nagy spent the whole offseason talking about, we're going to get the run game going. We're going to run the football. That's going to lead us to success offensively. There's been none of that. But you know where they have had success there offensively? When Mitch Trubisky is their quarterback.
Jordan, minimal success.
Hold on. Let's try and find a silver lining here. That team has been able to run the ball with an average of 5 yards per carry this season when Mitch Trubisky was the quarterback for those two games out of the gate. Smaller sample size, sure. But you know what Mitch Trubisky gives you in a stagnant offense? An element, an audible of, that guy can use his legs himself and run the football. Nick Foles was an absolute statue there in the pocket. So when you have no creativity, you have no forward mobility in moving the chains, at least Mitch Trubisky gives you that 11th hour, tuck it and run. That at least gives you something to look at. And the Packers' defense is a vulnerable one. I'll tell you why Mitch Trubisky may do it this week. May do it this week. Because Mitch Trubisky isn't looking over his shoulder. Coming into this season, he knew the highly paid Nick Foles was looking over his shoulder at the backup position. Nick Foles is injured. Mitch Trubisky can go out there and just play football and not worry about the outside noise. Will that be good enough? We'll see.
Okay, three things. Mitch Trubisky, in terms of the run game getting established when he was the starting quarterback, it was against the Lions, the Giants, and half of the game against the Falcons.
You like the Giants' defense.
Now, not the second game of the season in the game they lost Saquon Barkley. Also, you being the positive one, normally that's me.
I was well fed yesterday. I feel good.
Yeah, exactly. Todd Waddle, by the way, is going to join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line at 8:10 a.m. Central Time, and he'll have the latest on the quarterback position in Chicago and what is going on with the Bears. Get to our next topic here. Number 2 Notre Dame against number 19 UNC today at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ABC. Yeah, my husband here went to Notre Dame. If you can't tell by him singing along.
Let's go.
Brian Kelly, the head coach for Notre Dame, had this to say on bringing ND back to prominence.
The journey has for me been over the past 11 years, bringing Notre Dame football back to its rightful and proper place, and that is one of the elite college programs. I think we've shown that over the past 4 years that we are, in fact, one of the top programs in the country.
Okay. Do you agree, Notre Dame? Are they the top program in the country?
They should be number one. They got the best win on the season. I understand that Trevor Lawrence wasn't there for Clemson, but Notre Dame beat Clemson.
Are they going to beat UNC?
Notre Dame beat number one. And so for that reason, Notre Dame should be number one. And, yeah, I think this is going to be an incredible match. This is going to be a shootout. Sam Howell is an incredibly talented quarterback for North Carolina. It's going to be a lot of points there, but Notre Dame has arguably the best defense in college football as well, and they take away the run very well. North Carolina has two great running backs in that backfield in Michael Carter and Javonte Williams. Can Notre Dame limit the run game from North Carolina? We'll see.
2 years ago, Alex Smith was fighting for her life. Yesterday, he was fighting to get his team into first place. We'll discuss that next. This is ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.